Well, here we are again for another episode of our Getting to Know podcast, and it's a special week for us this week. We're talking to all the title winners and the big stories from this season in the JD Cymru Leagues, and really pleased that Neil Gibson has joined me from Prestatyn. Obviously, no stranger to winning titles in your time, specifically that one, I guess. Thanks for joining me, Neil. Everything going okay? Everyone well?
Yeah, really well, thanks, Jamie. You know, it's weird times that we're living in, isn't it? We're all doing things slightly differently because of the way we are, and you know, always happy to make time for yourself and to talk through the things that we're going to discuss.
Start with the biggest news, I guess. A title for Prestatyn Town. I mean, what does a title of any form in any circumstances mean to a club like Prestatyn?
Yeah, I mean, it's slightly strange, really, you know, surreal in the way that you know, we found out, you know, I've been fortunate enough over my time at Prestatyn to have won the league. I think this will be the third time now. So, and the other two occasions we've won it on the field, you know, we've got the points in a certain game, even if the season's had X amount of weeks to go, but you've been all together with the fans and the players and you can able to celebrate it together as a group, really. But so this one's slightly different, you know, but you know, like I say, the different times that we're living in. So I think for us it's just vindication, really, of a process that we follow and ambitions and targets, the names that we set out at the start of the season. And probably this particular title is all the more sweeter because when I came back to the club in October 2018, 19 months ago, it was ambitions that we set out while we were bottom of the Cymru Alliance, as it was then. And you know, I think some people might not have believed what I was trying to set out for us, but I firmly believed in what we could achieve and how we do things. And it's good vindication for the group as a whole that we've managed that, and we've been rightly crowned champions on Tuesday.
I mean, we'll touch on that in a minute, I guess, the sort of the feeling of when you came back and the expectations you had. But in general, I mean, looking at all your time at Prestatyn now, not just the most recent spell, I was reading earlier, I was trying to think, how do I summarise what Neil Gibson's done there? And someone wrote it in the Daily Post, it might have been Dave Jones, actually, who said he's achieved things that nobody thought was possible for a club like Prestatyn Town. I mean, what does that mean to you to hear that, whether you agree with it or not, whether you think it's about you or whether you don't or whatever? I mean, what does it mean to you to have been a part of something that, you know, gets those words attributed to it?
Oh, you know, I'm really, really humbled that anybody should wish to, you know, to mention those sort of accolades and words in regards to myself and the job I do for my hometown club, really. And that is what makes it so special. I think, again, you know, those words are really, really nice to hear, but, you know, they're not for me to make those, you know, assumptions, you know, far, far from it. Like I say, it's just a humbling experience that people would speak about it in that manner. I think the biggest thing that I try to do is, you know, I was fortunate enough to be a professional footballer I've always lived in Prestatyn until moving away to play professional football. But coming back at 23, 24 with a young family back into the area, it was important that I wanted to give something back to my local town that I'd seen, you know, playing at and I'd supported from, you know, a young person. And my mum and dad had, you know, been heavily involved in the club in the 80s and the 90s. So I wanted to give something back to local Welsh football. But also I didn't want to just take part. You know, I don't believe in just taking part. I always want to try and win and push to try and do things. So The biggest thing was that if we were going to get involved with a journey, then why can't Prestatyn, you know, try and achieve something special? Why can't we be in the Welsh Premier League? I think we were a Tier 3 club then. Why can't we try and get into Europe? Those aims and ambitions were always there. But, you know, it's getting the players to buy into that, building the group of players together and getting the club as well as the players to buy into that, that actually, why can't Prestatyn go and do that? You know, other clubs have and other towns have. So it's been a fantastic journey over a number of years that's probably aged me quicker than I thought it would when I took the job at 26. But you know, fantastic times.
No, absolutely. And managing or playing for a hometown club or having any role with your hometown club sounds really romantic in theory. In practice, how much pressure comes with that, or what are the other emotions that come with it, apart from obviously a great sense of pride?
Yeah, I think it covers every particular emotion you could ever have in football. I mean, I felt that once I couldn't play professionally anymore because it didn't suit the circumstances or whatever, then realistically, if I was going to do something within Welsh football, I wanted to do it with my hometown club. And I've been fortunate enough that over the years there's been opportunities to go elsewhere, and I've sort of stayed with my hometown club for the majority of those, until obviously this brief stint I had when the club was in difficult situations and, you know, couldn't really continue in the manner that we wanted to. So, and on the back of that, obviously wish my time at Coniskey Nomads, I wish them well and congratulate them on the title, fully deserved. Man, I'm over the moon for Jock and all the people at Coniskey there. But what I would say is, and, you know, I'm not speaking out of turn here, you know, when I went to Coniskey, things and the infrastructure of a club like that, you know, make it possible to achieve certain things. And then it obviously has to be pushed on by Andy and everyone at the club, and they've done that fantastically. But when we won the Welsh Cup there with Coniskey, you know, I felt an immense achievement of being part of something special. But, you know, I've got to be honest, it didn't touch what I felt when we won the Welsh Cup with Pristatin Town Football Club, you know, in 2013. So I sort of knew from that point that I wanted to sort of find a way back, get back to my hometown club and make things happen. It can have its strengths and weaknesses because you can't always get away from it. You know, the fans are my friends. You know, it's not a manager, you know, supporters relationship. I'm friends with lots of people that come and watch the club. You know, we have a personal relationship with almost everybody at our football club, and that's what makes it special. But then when you might get beat one week and you're walking through town and you're being asked questions about what went wrong here or what went wrong there, you know, that's the other aspect to it, I suppose. But, you know, if you're going to take football management seriously, you know, you've got to be prepared to be asked answer the hard questions as well as the easy ones. And the benefits far outweigh the you know, there's a few negatives. And, you know, seeing, you know, 900 people to 1,000 people at, you know, the race course at Wrexham when we won the Welsh Cup that day, and putting smiles on people's faces and playing a very small part in doing that is something that will last long in the memory.
And in terms of, obviously, people who may be new to Welsh football will have known what Pristatin have done over maybe the last few years, 3 or 4 years, so to speak. But can you tell me where Pristatin were when you started your journey with them? I mean, you mentioned there, obviously, your family's got a big affinity with them, but, you know, people might not know that Pristatin were in Division 3, for example.
Yeah. I mean, going back all the way to, I think I started off in the 80s with, with the current sort of person that's affiliated with the club for a long time, Lee Williams, myself and him, with the ball boys who used to get chucked over the fence to go and get the balls back from Bastion Gardens. My mum and dad helped to run the club in the 80s until Tony Thackeray took it over. We were a tier 4 or 5 club. You know, we enjoyed, you know, being part of a community and having a football club and keeping that going, but we never really had any aspirations to do anything differently. When I came back in, 2005 maybe, initially as a player and then as a player assistant manager to Dave Fuller, we were in a tier 3. We were pretty much a mid-table tier 3 team, but I felt that there was lots of good players locally around who were either playing at Rhyl's reserves or not getting chances to play in the Welsh Premier League at their first team. And they were friends of mine. And we sort of tried to galvanise a group of players where we felt that being the only way that we were going to get, or some of those players were going to get an opportunity to play in the Welsh Premier League, was to all form together and try and do it together between us and force ourselves up into that league. And, you know, taking it from tier 3 to tier 1, in I think it was 3 seasons, was a fantastic achievement, and something that all the players who I'm very, very close with, all of them still now, are very, very proud of, and rightly so, that they were the people that got Pristatin to the Welsh Premier League the first time. And so, you know, going from, I think there was, you know, I've been quoted to say many times, you know, there was like a period in 2006-07 when we were playing in tier 5-6 when we were playing in tier 3 at some you know, places, the opportunity of playing in Europe and winning in Latvia was a million miles away, but that was an experience on the pitch that myself, Dave Hayes, Michael Parker, Jack Lewis and John Hill Dunn got to experience from start to finish, and that's always a special moment for us.
And how important is that sort of local spirit, I guess, in the dressing room to have that? I mean, you've mentioned in previous conversations that at times you have felt need to bring in, you know, people from outside the local area just to add that edge or something else. I think you mentioned, you know, previous conversation with me, Andy Parkinson, for example. But how important in general is just that, you know, having those people understand what it's like to live in Prestatyn and breathe football like, you know, people do around there and so on?
Yeah, I think it's what makes Prestatyn Town Football Club what it is. And if we start to get too far away from that, or ever get too far away from that, then we lose what Prestatyn Town Football Club's about. I want, you know, we've got massive philosophies and way of playing and principles and ethos that we run as a football club and within our dressing room as players. And I think part of that ethos is that we want the players to represent the fans. So the fans come and watch. We're well supported. But I want I want the supporters to come and feel that the players are representing them, because they understand what it means to play for the local town. And I think that it's great that, you know, after a game or during the week, you can bump the supporters bump into the players in the town and they all know each other and there's all that connection. So, you know, we have part of our sort of, you know, I suppose it's my philosophy, but we call it the town way in terms of what we want to do as a football club and the principles. And that's quite clear that we want to be largely 75 to 80% of the group we want to be from within our local community. And we want to ensure that we bring our own players through from the academy to give opportunities to young players playing in the Welsh Premier League or the highest level that Prestatyn can play at within the Welsh tier at the time. So that's massive for us. And, you know, I'm something that I'm very proud of, that over the years there's been over 70 players now that have progressed through our academy that have gone on to play in the first team, either in the Welsh Premier League or the Cymru North. And, you know, in 13, 14 years, I think that's like, you know, quite an exceptional record to be proud of as a group. And these players haven't played 1, 2, 3, 4 games as a sub when there's nothing depends on it. You know, these players are, you know, with Michael Parker, who's now 31, 32 originally, and Jack Lewis and people like that. So between them, they played over 2,500 games of football. So that's how important the local ethos of understanding what the club's about. But also, sometimes you've got to go outside of your local group for the 2, 3, 4 players that might make a big difference. But if we're looking to sign players from outside the group, they have to be comfortably better than anything we have around here. Otherwise, it's no point bringing them in. And also, they have to buy into what the football club's about and make it feel like their home. You know, I remember signing Ross Stevens, you know, a couple of years before we won the Welsh Cup. And Ross was a fantastic Welsh Premier League player. We played around a number of different clubs. But I remember trying to talk him into coming to Prestatyn, and I said, make somewhere your home rather than changing places all the time. And he played for us for a long period. He now lives in Prestatyn with his wife and family. So, again, it's about getting players who come in and buy into what the club's about. And we've always tried, you know, and been successful in doing that.
And in terms of the highlights of your time at the club, you know, obviously Europe, Welsh Cup and, you know, promotions and so on. But are there, beyond that, are there particular moments or games or anything that stands out for you that you think, you know, those are the things that will always stick out for you about your time at the club?
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously those big moments of like winning the Welsh Cup and winning in Europe in our only, you know, ever European adventure, you know, and upsetting that, you know, the basically the bookmakers in terms of favourites not going through and us being the underdogs and making it. Those things are what's been Prestatyn's mantra really for myself. We've always thought that if there's a challenge there, we're going to try and take it on and overcome it, whatever that may be. So we galvanise ourselves as a group and go for that. And I think that some things that really spring to mind are, you know, our first game in the Welsh Premier League, I think we had to get the stand built, the floodlights done, everything done within 7 days of planning permission. And credit to Tony Thackeray, the chairman at the time, who's got a long affinity with the football club, managed to do that. Players and committee members at the time all down every night after work trying to build the stand and help out. That's like the spirit that is what Pristatin's about. And it's no surprise to me then that 2 months later, when the season started, our first home game at Pristatin, and we have, you know, we win 2-1 and John Hill Dunt saves a penalty as a young lad making his first Welsh Premier League game. And Ian Griffiths, a local lad who's come through the ranks, goes and scores the 2 goals to win us the game. You know, things like that are really special moments. And there's been so many of them over the time. I think as we progress through the seasons, being able to go from being happy to be at a level in the Welsh Premier League to over the seasons going toe-to-toe with clubs like Bangor, who always seemed, you know, just poles apart from us in the earlier days, and being able to overcome them in certain fixtures and having a good record against them by the end of it, you know, and a very good Bangor side at that. I think those are the special moments that feel like you've achieved something when you look around your dressing room and, you know, you're sharing those experiences with friends and you're still competing at the top level of Welsh football. I think sometimes that's forgotten, because I think, you know, bringing it full circle to, you know, this year, you know, in terms of our players, I think that a lot of players that have come back this season are Welsh Premier League players who had opportunities to play in the Welsh Premier League. And outside looking in, people might think, why on earth have they come back to Pristatin? But it's that tight-knit relationship that we all have as a group, the trust we have for each other, and actually the spirit of wanting to get this football club, this community back into the Welsh Premier League. So full credit to them that, you know, your Kai Edwards, Rob Hughes, Michael Parker's, and Ben Mars and the like, Alex Joneses have come back and want to drive this club forward again. And I think it's just sticking to your principles, sticking to your beliefs and making sure that, you know, everyone adheres to that.
And we will touch on the biggest highlights, I guess, you know, in terms of Europe and the Welsh Cup. I mean, on the Welsh Cup, could it have been any more perfect to do it in the way you did it?
No. Simple answer, Jamie. No, I mean, it's a great question, but I think that I don't want to take anything away from anybody else's achievements when they've won that competition, and they'll all have special moments. But obviously, we won it at Coniski, and it was a fantastic moment for the club because it's the first time they'd won it when I was working there under Andy. But I don't know. There's something special about it being at the race course, you know, so a proper football ground at Wrexham's ground. Bangor v Pristatin, so the local derby rivalry that's built up for probably 3 or 4 years. They probably saw us originally as, you know, some little jumped up club down the coast that wanted a rivalry that probably wasn't there for the first couple of years. The volume of support that Bangor fans always bring, always brought, and the volume of Pristatin fans in numbers that we took to it. And when we walked out on the pitch that day and saw as many fans as we had in our end as there was in the Bangor end, and the noise that our fans were making, you know, we all looked along the line at each other, you know, for the national anthem. And I think that, you know, there was hair on the back of the neck sort of time. And they're special, special moments. And I think the third goal made it perfect, because it gave us maybe 5 to 6 minutes to almost feel like this was going to happen. So it was a little bit less nervous than possible. But in the last minute or two, I was that consumed with emotion that I think if the ball had come anywhere near me, I'd have been absolutely hopeless. So we were playing with 10 men anyway. But I think it's just that feeling of reaching what potentially is your Everest and then making that happen and doing it with people that you sold the journey to maybe 6-7, been there to see it through. And, you know, people like John Hill Dunt saving the penalty again and getting a man of the match performance. I think somebody who pushed him really, really close that day was Chris Davis, who was a young, maybe 20, 21-year-old, who had come through our academy. I had seen play since the age of 14 and had now established himself as a Welsh Premier League player and a Welsh Cup winner. And again, as it goes full circle, you know, his brother used to be part of the academy and now is one of our main players in our first team winning the league again in Danny Davis. So I think that pretty much sums up what Pristaton's about. But the day couldn't have been any more special. And then obviously the flip side of that is, you know, at the end of the game, being able to celebrate it with your family and you know, the people that are close to you who know what it's meant to you over that period of time.
And then obviously to be able to go into Europe off the back of it. I think at the moment, especially because you look at Cardiff Met, I guess, Barry, Swansea, they've all come, well, Swansea to a point, have all come through the leagues and have threatened to, you know, they've done it consecutively and all this. And then you've gone one step further, though. You'd gone into Europe afterwards. I mean, how do you comprehend that after, you know, as you said, you know, what would it have been, 6 years earlier you were in Division 3?
Yeah. It's hard to comprehend it. And I think what happens is you have like a whirlwind sort of emotions, a whirlwind of emotions, and you have sort of a roller coaster ride and you get swept up in it. I think if for a second you step back while you're experiencing it, you don't achieve any of those things. You've just got to ride it and take the belief in what you're doing and the process is going to work out.
Do you think you appreciated it at the time? Sorry to cut across.
No, that's fine. No, I think you're right. I think we tried to do everything we could to appreciate it. I think if I look back on the times and the experiences, I think we were good at that. I think we did. I think we enjoyed our victories. You know, we enjoyed each other's company in the change room, after the change room, in the clubhouse, after we won the Welsh Cup, as, you know, players, family, you know, supporters, everyone in together. And I think we did exactly the same when we won in Latvia. So I'm very big on, you know, we work so hard at football and we put so much time and effort into it. And there's plenty of downtime. So when you do have the wins and you're lucky enough to get those experiences, you have to enjoy them and appreciate them for what they are. So I think we did. But what I think we didn't do, you know, and it's a learning experience for us if we, you know, to be as lucky to do that again, which is again something we're aiming towards, is that we have to learn from the things we didn't do quite well after that. So I think the emotion caught up with us. I remember after winning in Latvia and getting into the next round, you know, there's all that, you know, players not being able to take time off in between because they only thought they could be going away for 1 week. And then within 3 days, we're flying out to Croatia. So, you know, we went to Croatia with like a couple of players that are unavailable, which seems ridiculous, you know, that we're in that situation. So there's some of the obviously limitations and barriers that you have. But when we came back, I think we started the season great. We beat Bala 4-1 in the first game of the season. We beat TNS 1-0 in the second game of the season. We beat Bangor 1-0 away in the third game of the season. And we were top of the league, flying high, just won in Europe and just won the Welsh Cup and also beat Rhyl in the North Wales Coast Cup final at Bellevue. So it was pretty much, if you could go back and live another 3 months, you know, of your lifetime. You know, I think I heard Gary Neville say once that if he could go back and live 10 days, it'd be that between winning the league and the Champions League final. I think for us at Pristaton, all of us would say those 3 months in 2013, from May to August, we wouldn't mind having another go at. And but after that, again, like I say, we sort of hit a brick wall. And I think the emotion of the whole summer and what we'd achieved sort of caught up with us. And going from top of the league, we had a terrible end to the season and things started to fall apart off the pitch. But, you know, it should never take away from what Pristaton achieved really as a small community.
Having been through that, I mean, do you appreciate more now what the likes of, I guess you could put, well, you could certainly put Connors Key and Bala in that bracket, but do you appreciate more what those teams and TNS manage to do every year now? Because you've been there yourself, and then, you know, the season after Europe, you see it with a lot of clubs, I guess, you know, they don't quite reach maybe the same heights for whatever reason. They don't have the break, they don't have the downtime, yeah. Their routines changed, whatever it is. Do you appreciate more what those top three do every year now?
Yeah, I do. Because, I mean, I'm good, you know, I'm very good friends with Alan Morgan, you know, through our Tranmere days and connections. And what he achieved with Llan Dinno, where he got Llan Dinno into Europe, coming from a tier two club into Europe, and then, you know, how a little bit sour really in the way it ended from there, while they were top six. And then it's sometimes careful what you wish for in terms of, like, you know, almost getting carried away with where you're at. And I think we're starting to fall and foul of that at times as well. I think the great thing about Bala, Konarski and TNS is that they've got somebody behind the scenes who can bring financial stability to the football club. And that's not a negative. That's not me saying that as any way, shape or form as a dig, because it's a real bonus that those people stabilise the football club and give that foundation for clubs to build on and be successful season after season. And obviously then that model works, and the more that you keep qualifying for Europe, the more that you can sustain that year on year, and you can keep yourself slightly above. Again, going back to when we first won the Cymru Alliance, as it was then, you know, we edged out Bala and Collins Bala by 15 points to get promoted the first time. But you look at Bala now, established Welsh Premier League club every season. And I think, you know, it's a good model to look at in terms of the stability off the pitch with finances, you know, with obviously Nigel Aykroyd and Gary Dewhurst and Mike Harris enable, you know, some stability within the football club to make decisions that maybe some other clubs don't always have that stability, unless they can get sustained success in Europe or a 3G pitch, which unfortunately for starting currently, we've had neither.
How difficult is it then? I mean, because obviously you've done it recently, but how difficult is it to go up to the Cymru Premier and stay there?
Yeah, I think it's difficult in terms of the step up is big. You know, I think that the Cymru North this season has been extremely competitive with teams like Colwyn Bay and Flint and Gilsfield have been absolutely magnificent this season. But it shows the standard of the Cymru North if you've got Porthmadog down around the relegation zone with the players and staff that they've got there. And the same with Llan Dinno and Premier Cork have had a great season. But I would say that the standard of the Cymru North is getting better, which will hopefully make it easier to step up. But the Welsh Premier League is a very good standard, in my opinion. I think the level of coaching is getting better all the time through, you know, pro-licensed coaches on the FAW coach education system and things like that. So it's driving forward the standard all the time. I don't think it gets the good press that it deserves. You know, I know that the press do their level best, that do support the league and work on the league to push the brand, but it's a better brand than it gets credit for, in my opinion. So it does make that step up difficult. And again, I think that our last time we were in the Welsh Premier League is really bitter for us, because I think after 14, 15 games, we were 3 points away from fifth, and we were right in the mix for a top six place. And then obviously, unfortunately, events off the pitch, you know, happened, and the club were in a difficult position financially, and the wheels came off the players, unfortunately, and that took an effect. But I think that we were making a good fist of it that season with players who continue to go on and be well recognised Welsh Premier League players. And, you know, if hopefully we get the opportunity from winning the league this season to go back up next season, then I hope that we're in a far better place to compete. And I firmly believe with the group that plays that we've got that we can compete in the Welsh Premier League next season and not just be somebody that goes to make up the numbers. However, when you look at Airbus, have found it difficult this season after winning the league, then it's you know, we're under no illusions at the task that faces.
Turn back to this season just completed then. I mean, you mentioned right at the start, you know, that when you came back to the club, your ambition quite clearly was to get back to the Cymru Premier as soon as possible. Not to doubt your abilities, but given the situation you found yourself in at the time, being the foot of the Cymru North, how do you square off having those ambitions with the reality of where you were?
Yeah, I mean, I've had some interesting conversation over the last couple of days with a couple of players, Ian Griffiths, a lad called Jimbo Hay, who unfortunately is no longer with us because of work commitments meant that he's moved on, but was part of the process last season. And I remember the first meeting we came back into in October, I think we were 4 points from 11 games in the league at that point when I came back in, and sort of we were quite firm in the first meeting we had with all the players, and they just said, look, you know, I haven't come back to mind in the Cymru Alliance as it was then, Cymru North now. You know, I feel that we should be working at Welsh Premier League level, and the aim is that we're going to keep ourselves up this season, and I'm going to help you do that. And then next season, we're going to get promoted to the Welsh Premier League. And I think there's some faces that are looking at me thinking, you have seen the table, haven't you, sort of thing. But I was firmly believe in the processes that I deliver in my philosophy of playing football. You know, I have clear processes that I follow, a clear way of playing, clear principles about what I expect from every player, what me, myself and my coaching staff will deliver for every player. And it's not easy to play for me. You know, there's harsh expectations put on players. And, you know, I saw the interview that Andy did at Konarski yesterday, I think it was, and the word was relentless. And I think that in the way that we work at Pristatin, you know, we're quite relentless in the way that we push people to be as good as they can be, and we don't take any standards being dropped. So I knew that the way of the process that we would follow, I knew that if we could get the players believing in what they were capable of doing and improve them week on week out in training. So I'm a big believer in, if you cover all bases and take all excuses away from players, then they have every opportunity to succeed. And being a player not so long ago myself, I know that we all look for an option of deflecting the blame elsewhere. So we take that out right at the start. And I say that, you know, the amount of effort and time that the lads put in is, you know, unquestionable, really. You know, we do video analysis once a week. We do team meetings with video analysis. We train twice a week. We do video analysis after training. We look at their sports science input and what they do nutritionally to look after themselves away from the game, you know, and then we work them every week in training to improve them. And I expect that if they haven't improved over the course of the season, then I've failed in my job as improving them as players and as a group. So we put all those expectations on them. But when you know that you follow those processes, then you can be confident that success will just become a byproduct of following your process. So that's what we try to do. And that's what, you know, the players, to a man, deserve all the credit for it. Because you can only put things in place, give people roles and responsibilities in a way of playing. But ultimately, it's over to the players to take that on board all the way through the week in training, all the way through a long, hard season, and implement it every game. And the players have been absolutely first class. So they deserve all the credit in the world for us winning the league this season. And realistically, you know, in my opinion, we've got a group of Welsh Premier League footballers who've earned the right to go back and play in the Welsh Premier League. And hopefully, you know, they can go and prove that next season.
How hard is it to have that role that you've just described there? You know, because it sounds like you said, you know, you put all the onus on the players, etc., etc., etc. But they, you know, they're young men. They surely like to mess around every now and then. How difficult is it to be Neil Gibson in that situation?
Well, I think it's one of them where if you put all the processes in place and you put the trust in the players, I think players, especially the group of players that I've worked with, and obviously a lot of them have come back this season to decide to work with me again because of the trust factor that we've got over years of working for me previously and then playing for me previously. So I think if you put trust in players, then they tend to reward you. And this group that I have certainly do. So, you know, I fully understand that football is secondary. They all have jobs. They all have families. That, you know, things come before football. But we sort of say, well, even as secondary as it is, if we're going to do something, we're going to do something properly. So at the start of the season, we give them all, I outline the aims and objectives in our first meeting of every season, what our targets are and what we're looking to do and how we're going to do it. And then I give them a list of things that I'm going to give to them. And then I expect a list of things back. And then we all, you know, look at that and say, if it's not for everyone, even if you've only just signed, if it's not for you now, well, let's call it a day and move on. But if we agree to it all today on day one and move forward, then everyone can call each other over the course of the season and then say, well, look, we've signed up to this and we've let our standards drop today. So is that what we said we were going to do? No. So let's put it right and move on again and make sure we get it right. So for the following week. And, you know, and if I, you know, I'm a big believer in reflecting on certain issues, and, you know, and if I ever feel like I've got something wrong, I'll always, you know, say to the players that you know, I'll take responsibility for something if I haven't got it right on a certain game, and I expect that openness with the group. So, in fairness to the players, you know, I'm not sure it's that difficult. It's the way I work, so it's what I'm used to, and it's a philosophy that and a way of football that I've created that I want, you know, wherever I was managing, I would adopt that way. So it's just part and parcel of what I do. I mean, again, like, you know, this season, for example, as part of the Welsh Premier League, you know, passing the licence and stuff like that, I've, you know, taken on the academy manager's role as well. So as well as running the first team every week, you know, I'm running the under-19s as well. But it's been fantastic because I, you know, I'm a firm believer in bringing the players through from the academy and having a pathway for them. So being able to see 16, 17, 18-year-olds train every week, and including them with the first team and bringing that through, has meant that, like this season when we played Flint in the league in the title decider potentially, or Flint in the Welsh Cup quarter-final, you know, we played Sam Duffy, a 17-year-old from the academy under-19s, and started in both of those games ahead of Jordan Davis and Jack Kenny, because that's the principles we follow. So it doesn't matter if it's the biggest game of the season or not. It's, you know, we follow those principles. Sam was playing well. Sam was performing. He deserved his opportunity. He played. And my role at the football club, I think, is to ensure that that always carries on. You know, probably it's a lot of workload that takes me away from other things that I could be doing. But if you're going to do something, you've got to do it properly.
Has management been everything you expected it to be? And what did you expect it to be when you started? Because obviously you were very young. So what were your sort of, who were your role models? Who guided you?
To be honest, I was as fortunate, obviously, that I've like worked, managed, played under quite a lot of, you know, top managers. I would say, you know, in the, when I was playing in the under-21s with Wales, the first team manager, we were obviously very close with the first team of Wales at the time. We stay in the same hotels and train together, and you'd get added up to train with the group and whatever. And Mark Hughes was a Wales manager, and that was just like a whole new level of watching how things were to be done. You know, at Sheffield Wednesday, I worked under Terry Yorath and Paul Jewell, so good, and Peter Shreve, so good managers and coaches that had been around and knew the game extensively well. Willie Donaghy at Sheffield Wednesday was a fantastic coach who was probably years ahead of his time in the way he looked at things and preparing players. And John Aldridge at Tranmere, who I spent a lot of time, you know, playing under, was fantastic at man management of certain individuals. You know, he's a you always knew where you stood with him, you know, whether that was right or wrong and which side of the deck you fell some weeks. But also he was absolutely, credit where it's due, he was very good at bringing a small, close community club like Tranmere as underdogs together, and, you know, and overachieving in the championship as it is now, but in those days it was like, for, you know, first division, you know, being one league below the Premier League, and, you know, keeping a club like Tranmere Rovers up there for that time and getting to a Worthington Cup final and things like that. So there's lots of aspects I've tried to take off all different sort of coaches and managers, and then you try and take as much as you can off one and leave things that you think, well, probably wouldn't do things that way. But I've always captained most of my teams that I played in, even from an early age. So I've thought about the game differently. You know, I played a lot of multi-sports in terms of cricket and captain cricket teams, which basically is like the manager, if anyone, you know, for cricket purposes. So I've always thought tactically about the game. And I felt that probably it was too early for me, if I'm being honest, at 26, 27. But I felt if I didn't take it on at that time, the group that we were building would disperse. So I look back sometimes and think of some mistakes that I made in the first couple of years and, you know, think, wow, what was I thinking? Or I wouldn't do that again. But that's the experience. You know, we're always looking to get better each year. You know, I'm still feel that I'm relatively young at 40, so that I feel that, you know, hopefully I've got a longer, you know, career in management ahead of me. So I'm still learning now, but that's what it's always about, is making sure you learn as you go, sort of thing. But if I'm honest, probably wasn't quite ready, but, you know, at the time, but learned quickly on the job, and, you know, and thankfully was fortunate enough to do it well enough to keep in the position where we are and be successful.
And I won't keep you too much longer, but I saw Andy tweeting last week, the week before, you know, wishing you well for obviously the success he'd had in winning the league and so on. And I've seen a lot of people say how much admiration they have for the job you've done at Prestatyn, either this time or previously or whatever. But my question to you is, who do you admire and look up to in Welsh football? Is there anyone that you look at and think quite like them in terms of managers or coaches or players or anyone like that you've looked at over the years and thought, you know what, I like them?
Yeah, I mean, I think I probably wouldn't look too far away going back to the early days. I think Andy Cale, when he was in the league with TNS, was you know, really ahead of his time. I would say I think he was he was very good at what he did. He was tactically very switched on and very aware. One of my good friends in football, Tommy Holmes, was playing for him at the time and used to speak really highly of him. So I think that, you know, he would be certainly one at the starting point. You know, you look at all the people that are successful, they're successful for a reason. Success doesn't come, you know, as a coincidence. So when you see like what other people in the league, you know, over the years have done, then they all deserve, you know, complete admiration for the work they do. Because whether you're successful or not, if football management's done properly, it's hard, it's time consuming, the level of commitment and drive and everything you put into it. And you get about 20 minutes to enjoy it, and then you're planning for next week straight away. So it's hard not to see that, and, you know, sort of have a level of respect for everyone that you come up against in every league who's taking the job on. And I try as best as I can to sort of like not help. I don't have any ideas of grandeur, but I try and speak to younger coaches and try and help, you know, and sort of advise them in terms of some of the pitfalls that I came across earlier on in my time. And, you know, in this season at Clanrider, Dan Graham, somebody that I've spoken to quite a lot, and Clanrider have had a great season in terms of, but to go back to the Welsh Premier League, obviously, I was on the pro licence with Andy Morrison, you know, with Jock, and we probably have contrasting football styles, but a lot of things that we have that are very similar. And like I always say, you know, there's no right or wrong way to play football. It's just that, you know, what's the best way that a certain group can win a game of football. And I had a lot of admiration for Andy. I got on with him well. And if I'd have gone to any other Welsh Premier League club, not as a number one, which is what I did at Connors Quay, I don't think I'd have gone anywhere if it wasn't with Jock, really. So I wanted to try and learn things from him about different sides of the game that maybe was areas that I wasn't, you know, as knowledgeable as I could have been. So that would probably be the person that I'd speak about if I'm looking in that way. But I think if you look, you know, in terms of the Premier League and things like that, you know, you can't look too far away from, you know, as much as it pains me as a Manchester United fan, you know, Jurgen Klopp is, and it doesn't get much wrong, does he? You know, he's there's a grudging respect there, I think, from every Man United fan for sort of the job he's doing. But I think it's that passion on the sideline, backing his players and supporting his players. And I'm sure the fans of Liverpool know how much it means to Jurgen Klopp. And I hope that, similarly, at a very lower level at Prestatyn, I hope that, you know, the fans of Prestatyn know how much it means to me, you know, to manage Prestatyn, and the players know that I'll back them and give them every opportunity to be successful.
Well, I can't think of, apart from the fact that you've mentioned Jurgen Klopp, because I'm a United fan as well, I can't think of many better ways to end this interview than on that sentiment there. Look, thank you very much for your time again, and congratulations once again on all of your success. Who knows what next season will hold for anyone at the moment, really. But whatever form it takes, I wish you all the best with it, and I'm sure I'll see you at a football pitch very soon when we're allowed to be at one again. Thank you very much for your time, mate.
I appreciate that, Jamie, anytime. Okay, stay safe, mate. Thank you.
Thank you.